Hello and welcome to this week's service at Westminster Reformed Presbyterian Church. We are located out of Prairie View, Illinois, a northwest suburb of Chicago. We are so glad that you decided to join us today. Our sermon today is titled Let Us Know by our guest pastor, Namshik Yang, from Grand Rapids, Michigan. Our scripture reading will be Deuteronomy 11, 1 through 14, and Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. Our sermon text will be Hosea 6, 1 through 3. Thank you.
Please turn your copy of the Bible to book of Hosea, Hosea chapter 6. Hosea chapter 6, verse 1 to 3. Hear the word of our living God. Come, and let us return to the Lord, for he has torn, but he will heal us. That is frightened, but he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up, that we may live in his sight. Let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us like the rain, like the later and former rain to the earth. Hosea, the first book of the 12 minor prophets, might not be a very popular book to preach on. It was at the time when the nation of Israel was already torn into two, Judah to the south and Israel to the north, which happened not long after Solomon's death. Hosea served northern Israel and ministered quietly for as long as 50 or 60 years. What's important is that God speaks about the relationship between him and his people Israel through Hosea's personal family struggles. And God keeps asking Hosea to bring Hosea's unfaithful wife back, his adulterous wife, Gomer. This morning, as we look at this little-known prophet Hosea, I want your ears, heart, and mind to be attentive to one simple lesson from today's passage, focusing on verse 3. Let me read it again. Let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us like the rain, like the later and former rain to the earth. Congregation, you are called to know the Lord. I urge you, know the Lord. Follow on to know the Lord, then you shall know him. I would like to begin with the premise of knowing God. There is a premise to know God. In the book of Hosea, the northern kingdom of Israel was just like Gomer, the wife of Hosea. Israel was accused by God as having a spirit of prostitution in their heart. People were idolatrous. They ignored God's law. Their lives were unjust and unfaithful. And their religious conditions were worse. We see that they have gone down the wrong path as well. Some tried to solve their problems, but they went in the wrong direction. In Hosea 5:13, we can find the people of Israel relying on something else besides the Lord. It said, then Ephraim, referring to Israel, went to Assyria, the strong nation during that time. Israel thought that strong nations like Assyria could help them, protect them, and save they put their trust in Assyria rather than our God. But that was not what God wants to do. It seemed like that as though the people of Israel went to a wrong physician for healing. You wouldn't see a urologist to have an eye surgery. You wouldn't visit an OB doctor to get a knee replacement. You will need to find the right doctor for your head problem. The prophet Hosea gives Israel and those who are sick in their soul the simple command in verse 1. Return to the Lord. Return to the faithful Lord in whom you will find the promise. Here. That is the premise of knowing God. It's for sure that God's judgment is upon sinners and He will punish those who are against Him. Yet, it's also sure that God is slow to anger. He is merciful and grace, and He longs to forgive and restore those who are rebellious against Him. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Our faithful Lord, let you hear His wonderful promise. He has torn and He will heal us. He has smitten and He will bind us up. The verb return is repeated 6 times in the book of Hosea. And this verb return encourages us to take 2 actions, turning from sin and turning towards the Lord. We call this in theological terms repentance and conversion. Once the Holy Spirit illuminates your heart and mind, you will find sins along your way. Then you admit your sin and go back to the Lord. Because of Christ's death and resurrection, we are able to come to Lord and live in Him. That's what we see in verse 2, which leads to Christ's resurrection. Christ is the one who made us alive. Christ alone saved His people. You see His resurrection. The midst of the Old Testament here. In this verse 2, one pastor also said, the evidence and the authenticity of Israel's repentance and conversion is apparent from the fact that he wants to live in God's presence. Israel wants to stay home. He does not want to stray from his father's side anymore. This is not a stay-home order, but rather this is a willingness to stay home, like Psalm 27. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. So after turning away from sins and turning to our God, what comes next? Where is the prophet Hosea calling us to? What is it that follows for Christians to do in the house of the Lord? How can I prevent myself from straying from Father's house and instead grow and be fruitful in the relationship with my Lord? Prophet Hosea gives a simple answer for this question. Know the Lord. Know your God. Our second heading this morning is first week of knowing the Lord. Again, we were told that Northern Israel turned away from God and sinned against Him in various areas during the time of Hosea. But most of all, on behalf of God, Hosea spoke to the people that they were betrayed for lack of knowledge. They rejected knowledge of God and they forgot the love of God. Hosea wrote regarding their spiritual condition in Hosea 4:1, there is no faithfulness or steadfast love and no knowledge of God in the land. Not only the love toward God and the love toward neighbors, but also the knowledge of God was lacking in that land. Again, in Hosea chapter 5, verse 4 and 5, it is written that they have not known the Lord, but they were full of their eyes. In another place in this book, we also see the people turned away from studying or knowing God's word. Instead, they regarded it as a strange thing. They were unfamiliar with God's word. And without knowledge, acknowledging and understanding the word of God, it is not surprising that the people of Israel went in different and wrong directions. We have a few children here. If your child, a grandchild, doesn't know the value of money, he or she would pick 5 pennies rather than 1 Benjamin Franklin bill. This is something we grown-ups would probably never do because we know which of two is more valuable than the other. This is what happened in Israel. Their hearts and minds were too dim to choose the right direction. Thus, Hosea, who called them return, now simply ask them to know the Lord. Regarding knowing God, I want to bring you 3 things. First, I would like to distinguish between knowing God and knowing about God. Probably some of you, or many of you, already knew this difference. Let me say this first. We need both knowing God and knowing about God. But knowing God and knowing about God have different meanings. For example, what if I earned my PhD degree in missiology, a study of mission, but I've never been into any mission field? I'm not interested in being sent out and have no passion for the Lord. This would be an example of knowing about the mission as a PhD, but not experiencing it personally. The fundamental difference between knowing God and knowing about God is about personal relationship. Knowing God is personal. Without forming and engaging in a relationship with God, you will not know God. You can study about the real natures and attributes of God through all different kinds of theological books. However, you still cannot say you know Him personally unless you have a personal relationship with Him. If you know God personally, knowing about what He has revealed about Himself in the book of Scriptures can help nurture your relationship with God. On the other hand, if you know about God without knowing Him, this knowledge will not lead you to a relationship with God, and that is the third thing. So what knowledge does Hosea want us to hold on? It's not merely knowing about God, but clear, especially when we understand the overarching theme of the book of Hosea, which is the covenant relationship between God and His people. Furthermore, we saw verse 2 teaches us that we live in God's presence after returning to Him through Christ's resurrection. Being with God and living in His presence surely means that we have a relationship with God. We have a personal access to God by death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. A commentator once said, "We shall know experimentally and practically how holy, how good, how faithful God is." You know the meaning of the word holy, good, and faithful in English more than I do. And you've heard or studied about God's holiness, goodness, and faithfulness through messages from the pulpit, from Bible study, or personal readings. But has your heart ever trembled when you think of God's goodness? Have your lips ever praised God's goodness with joy from your bottom of your heart? Have you ever experienced God's faithfulness in your everyday life? You shall know God experientially. You must want to deepen your knowledge of God as your Father, as your Lord, and as your Savior. You should shift your way of studying God from wanting to know about God to wanting to know God. How can we turn our knowledge about God into the knowledge of God? The AI Pecker helps us to answer this question. In his celebrated book, Knowing God, says, it is that we turn each truth that we learn about God into matter for meditation before God, leading to prayer and praise to God. Congregation, continue to enhance your knowledge about God, but also meditate on this knowledge before the sight of God. Just like a cow chewing its cud over and over and over again. And let your knowledge of God lead you into prayer and praise to Him. In addition to knowing God, secondly, I also want you to notice the verb press on in verse 3. Other English Bible versions translate this word into pursue or follow on. These expressions, pressing on to know the Lord or pursuing the Lord, give us a better sense of what is the mindset of knowing God. The level of difficulty in pressing on to know God might be greater than we think. One Otis scholar gives an illustration for this verb press on or pursue using an example from two armies. It's like one army chasing the other army. Do you know how eagerly and intensely does the army chase its enemy on the battlefield? This is a test that will put your life at risk. For this type of pursuing, day and night are no longer distinction. Thinking of the King James Bible translation, follow on, instead of press on or pursue, this word captured my attention and was linked to one feature we commonly use on social media nowadays. Do you follow someone or a group of people in your social media? Do you do, that means you want to know what is going on with that person or that group, and you are so eager to have up-to-date information. Isn't it true that you can literally spend hours reading and commenting on posts which you follow? How about you following on to know your God? When was the last time you wrestled with the gospel? What do you follow most eagerly? Is it your Lord on your following list? Is He the only one or one of many on your following list? Believers, we are told to follow on to know the Lord. One last thing I want to draw out of this second heading is that this call is delivered to us corporately. That's the verse 1. We found the same pattern. Let us return. Now, let us know God. Both are using the first person plural instead of the first person singular. It is said, let us return, not let me return, and let us know, not let me know. Why don't we see each other here, growing in the knowledge of God? I'm not saying who knows more about the theology or the Bible, but I encourage you to come to the Lord and have a closer relationship with Him as His body. Our hand. Let us encourage. Let us exhort. Let us admonish, teach, instruct, build up, speak the truth, and pray for each other so that we can build up a congregation where there is a willingness to know God, to love God, and to pursue God more, better. Looking at Hosea calling us to return and know God, I want to show you one encouragement found in knowing God. Our third and last heading this morning is promise of knowing God. Let me read. You can look at the today's verse again, chapter 6, first 3 verses. So please pay attention from previous chapter, verse 15. Focus your attention to the later part of chapter 6, verse 3. We see the parallel structure in our passage, and from chapter 5, between God's promises and God's call. In 5:15, God's promise was given, it is written that He will return again to His place, which means that He will turn away from His wrath and show Israel His mercy and grace. In 6:1, the Lord instructed Israel to come and return. In 6:2, He confirmed His promise again that He will come to those who return to Him. So here, we see God's wonderful promises when the people of God genuinely return and pursue Him. He will return to His place. He will heal them. He will bind them up. He will revive them. He will raise them up and He will come to them. Looking at verse 3, we see another promise when we pursue know Him, we shall know Him. We shall know Him. Then how can we apply this promise into our Christian life? In the remaining time, I would like to consider two metaphors the sun, the rain, immerse deeply in connection with our Christian life, and I hope to find some answers to my previous question. First, let's think of the morning sun or the dawn. The people of Israel in the New Testament, the dawn, the morning sun is their hope and expectation for the coming of the Messiah. And to us, it would be a reminder of our faith in Jesus Christ. Every morning, we expect the sun to rise. It's a no-brainer. As surely as the sun rises, we should know that the light shines in the darkness. The darkness has not overcome. As surely as the sun rises, we should know that God is working and controlling over everything, especially for our salvation through Jesus Christ, our Messiah. As surely as the sun rises, we should know that Christ will come into our hearts and you will no longer walk in the darkness, but will have a light of life. And surely as the sun rises, it is certain that we shall know our God and His wondrous works when we pursue to know. When we think of the year of 2020, what comes first to your mind? One of the words I could capture that year is uncertainty. Uncertainty. It has been a full of uncertainty. The picture of 2020 totally opposes God. Picture of our uncertain life should grab your heart and mind to know and trust God's promises and the hope in Christ, which are so sure and so certain. Will the sun rise tomorrow? If you say yes, remember that God's promises given to you and to those who return to God are sure answer. As we press on our uncertain life, if you say yes, be encouraged and be comforted by knowing God, who is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in His being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. How about the rain? In verse 3, we see the rain. The state of Illinois, according to the Chicago, gets either rain or snow on average 125 days per year. Annually, we have 38 inches of rain and 35 inches of snow, a little less than Michigan. 77 inches in total. In comparison, the land of Israel gets 22 inches of rain 62 days per year and very little snow. So we see less rain in the land of Israel. You probably recall the story of Joseph. Brothers came to Egypt because of a great drought in Palestine. I'm sure that rain greatly affected the lives of people during the ancient times. Also, verse 3 talks about two types of rain. You have other English Bible translations, that ESV, there's two rain, also called earlier or first rain in the Bible, comes at the beginning of the rainy season, around October. And the later rain comes at the end of rainy season, April. Why are the former rain and the later rain closer to them? It's because they come when it is time to sow and harvest. I read Deuteronomy chapter 11 that I will give you the rain of your land in its due season. The first rain, the later rain, that you may gather and dye your corn and your wine and your oil. What I want to say here is that the rain comes in due course. Whether the rain is lighter or heavy, it is the timing which matters. That timely rain revives the ground and makes it fruitful. Likewise, God will come to you. He will find you. His grace will be upon you in His perfect timing when you need it. We began our study with it, that we are to know. And we end with this study with the fact that the Lord knows you. God knows the perfect time. He knows you and He knows what you need. So put your trust in Him, Him alone, and rest on the confidence that God knows you. Recall Hebrews 4 again. Let us then with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He will surely come like the early and the later rain, because He knows His time is given to you. Our God, who knows you, will supply every need of yours according to His riches and glory in Jesus Christ. Congregation, be encouraged and be comforted by knowing that God knows you. The premise of knowing God, the pursuit of knowing God, the promise of knowing God. Congregation, follow on to know the Lord, then you will know Him. You will find Him who is like the dawn, the former, and later. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in. Please review our Facebook and YouTube pages for further teachings. We pray you will join us next week. If you are interested in or have questions about visiting us in person, please contact us at secretary@wrpc@gmail.com. Thank you.